Agenda item, the next agenda item. Cobia. Mr. Giorli. Welcome to the hot seat.
Back.
This is a request for public hearing.
It'll be much easier than last night. So that, of course, is in reference to the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee meeting we held last night. There were a few ASMFC updates, a couple other items, but obviously the real draw for public was the cobia item. So we presented on how cobia is structured, what happened last year, or what is estimated to have happened, and took a lot of public comment. We had 35 members of the public who attended, at least that's as many as we could count that signed in. 12 provided public comments, 8 people representing charter, 4 representing private vessel, and then one each of those also doubled as lure maker, tackle shop employee, things like that. So because there was no quorum, there were only 6 members of FMAC there, there was no official motion to come out of that meeting last night. It's possible they're going to try to schedule another one in advance of the March commission meeting. But there were obviously lots of opinions expressed from our members of our public. Not surprisingly, the overwhelming sentiment was mistrust of harvest estimates from the EMRIT surveys. So federal data is not trusted, believed to be too high, and really a belief among almost all of our anglers that the cobia fishery is very healthy in the bay. Maybe you're seeing some in the smaller to mid-size range, not the biggest 900-pound cobia we've been seeing past 5 or 10 years. However, it does seem to suggest that there's replacement going on. So that was probably the main comment that was shared by everyone. Many of the charter captains cited loss of revenue, obviously a shortened season. But also something they've echoed last year and this year was a hesitancy among customers to book trips just because of the uncertainty in management. Even last night, some of the committee members asked, staff, what's on your mind? What's staff planning at the moment? And obviously that's a work in progress. From our standpoint, there are a lot of variables that are going into this. We've heard reports from people down south that cobia are showing up sooner. So whereas last year we had a lot of problems in the July-August harvest estimates, that could be shifted forward if the cobia show up in earlier in May and really hit it in June. So I guess the point of that is staff is trying to develop a bunch of different plans of attack that hopefully will be able to give people a lot of things to look at. Getting back to public comments, just a few more points. Some seemed okay with last year's regulation. Some of the captains, some of the private people said, look, this is something that we could do again. Toward the end, there were a lot of people who said, we don't want a closure, and we want at least a 4-fish vessel limit. Last year, there was 2 fish max per vessel per day. And people said, look, it'd be really nice to have 4 fish, just something more to share among the people in the boat. And then the gaffing issue. A few people said, look, they could take it or leave it. One captain said, I'd prefer to use a net and not a gaff. But there was a moment where one of our public commenters just turned around to the 30 or 40 people and said, how many of you want your gaffs back? And it was hard to find someone who didn't have his or her hand raised. So it seems that at least of the people who are coming to represent themselves, they would like their gaff back. So we'll have to address probably all these issues come whenever we discuss this as a public hearing. So, as I mentioned at the FMAC meeting, we gave a little refresher just to get everybody back into the swing of things, whether you want it or not. Cobia is managed what's called the Atlantic Migratory Group, which ranges from Georgia through New York. That's managed by the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council. And we are part of that group, and the main piece of management is the annual catch limit, or the ACL. That is split 92-8, recreational to commercial. That shakes out to be 620,000 pounds for the rec sector and 50,000 pounds for the commercial sector. That has gone down incrementally in the past few years by 10,000 pounds each sector For example, in 2015, it was 630 and 60. But part of the stock assessment, which was finished up a few years ago, they noted a declining trend in biomass. And that was only data through 2011, so it's many years later now. But that was the impression that the assessment team had gotten from the data and from the model that said, well, there seems to be a declining trend in the number of cobia, so we're going to ratchet it down just a little bit. So it's not going to go down any more from these numbers until the next stock assessment. Obviously, it could go up, could go down, could stay the same, but for now, we're safe here. So just to compare what we had in 2015, which was the first year of really high estimated harvest, and then what happened in last year, we did change some regulations. Commission remembers the May meeting of last year. There were a lot of things that were changed. The size limit went up from 37 inches total length to 40 inches total length. The possession limit stayed the same because Virginia's always had a restrictive personal possession limit. We went from no vessel limit to only two allowed per boat per day, and only one of those could be greater than 50 inches in an attempt to protect the large breeding females. We hadn't had a closure. Cobia was never really something that seemed to need it, but last year, Commission voted to established that August 30th closure just to provide a little bit of savings from the tail end of the season, and then the gear restriction was the establishment of a no-gaffing, a prohibition on gaffing for the recreational sector, which included for hire, which included our peer anglers, so it was across the board. And this is just perhaps a lesson. So given all those regulations, And given the AMRIP harvest estimates, it didn't really seem to do much. So, length limits and something like a length limit or a bag limit, if you can still go out there and catch your limit, then you're not guaranteed to reduce harvest with those measures. So if there are enough 40-plus inch cobia out there and people can go find them, it's not guaranteed to return a reduction in harvest. Obviously, the vessel limit, we know in real life, had an effect on those charter captains and those very, very skilled private anglers who could go out there and get 5-6 cobia to keep. But we know from last year, if you'll recall, the 2013, 14, and 15 raw MRIP data just didn't pick up any of those trips, picked up very few data points from the charter industry, so it's possible we just didn't get credit for that. So Virginia's harvest stayed high. Virginia's harvest alone exceeded the ACL in both years. North Carolina exceeded it in 2015. They implemented measures, I won't say similar to what Virginia did. They limited which days private guys could go out and this and that, and that did lead to a reduction in estimated harvest according to MRIP, which could just be fewer days on the water, fewer intercepts, or whatever. There's a lot that goes into expanding those samples to an annual harvest estimate, and it's just very tough to speculate. But that's the data that we have to work off of. 2015, 2016, that was really the only game in town. So from NOAA's standpoint, they're required by the accountability measures, by the fishery management plans, to avoid overages in the annual catch limit. And obviously we learned last year that the federal government does not have an easy way of controlling what the states do in their own waters. And so the only tool that they had at their disposal for this year, for 2017, was to just establish a closure in federal waters effective immediately for the recreational sector. So at the end of January, they released an announcement that said no cobia in federal waters for a state like Virginia, who mostly harvests in state waters. That's not much of an issue. This table right here is just the percentage of harvest from MRIP that's estimated to come from state waters. So if there's a zero, that means it's all federal. So if you look at Virginia, the rightmost column, with the exception of a couple of years, 2011, 2012, we are primarily a state waters fishery. So obviously from the perspective of anglers, a federal waters closure doesn't mean much to them. But if you look at the second and third columns of Georgia and South Carolina, those are states that pretty much rely on the federal waters for their cobia season. So they effectively have no cobia season this year. Unless they can scrounge up some state waters, but I believe South Carolina or Georgia, I forget which, by law, they just follow whatever the federal rules are.
Except they've made an exception for sea bass. If the federal close sea bass, their state waters stay open.
Sure. And theoretically, the NIMS has perhaps hinted, and I don't know that this is any sort of binding suggestion, but depending on what North Carolina and Virginia do, they may revisit their closure. Because they basically admitted that, you know, they assumed Virginia and North Carolina would harvest at some point in 2017, and that state waters harvest together would likely exceed the 620,000-pound ACL. So they're going to pay attention to what we're doing, but at the same time, they, as I said, planned for this. The other half of this, something looming more in the future, is the involvement of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. I'm the Virginia representative for the plan development team, which is coming up with the fishery management plan. And then when that's set in place and ASMFC is officially on board, we'll have the technical committee. I'll be involved with that. But right now, we're just starting the process of developing a draft fishery management plan, or FMP. And the South Atlantic Board, who will ultimately adopt COBIA, has just formed a working group to explore different allocation options. Allocation could be state-by-state quotas. It could be state-specific seasons. But ultimately, it does come down to whether directly or indirectly dividing this pie, so to speak. So there's many possibilities for what ASMFC can do. There are a lot of tools in the toolbox, but none of that will really be in place until at least 2018. I think the plan right now is to have everything in place for the ASMFC's annual meeting toward the end of the year. And if we're lucky, we'll have ASMFC on board for 2018, which a lot of anglers at the meeting last night were frustrated because they see it as dividing a pie that's too small. Obviously, if that pie were bigger, it wouldn't be an issue. It would be welcomed because COBIA is a state waters fishery, and general rule of thumb is that ASMFC is good at bringing states to the table to hash out these state waters issues. So the final point that I suppose I would just like to drive home is that, you know, we tried to project what Virginia would harvest. When we voted on the measures back at the May meeting in 2016, staff had prepared a projection. So we essentially followed what NIMS had done when they were doing their projections. So if you recall last year, they had a projection and they said, we think everyone will reach the ACL by June 20th. And that's where their closure came from. So we got in touch with their scientists and said, how did you do it? So essentially, we used their wave-by-wave data from 2013 to 2015, treated each wave, each two-month block, as equivalent. So each day was the same harvest. Made it easy. We used 2016 regulations that were ultimately voted on and projected that harvest to be a little over 330,000 pounds. And so obviously, the MRP estimate that was returned in 2016 was almost three times that. And so unfortunately, this is not guaranteed to be a reliable predictor. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the reality of trying to split up MRIP data, which for a species like COBIA, which they just don't cover very well, it's already going to be a tough number to pin down. And so once you start splitting it up into two-month blocks and really trying to project the harvest, it's difficult. And then from a real-world fishery standpoint, every year is different. The wind can blow differently. The temperature can be differently. Price of gas can determine who goes fishing when. So it's difficult to really figure this out. And so as I alluded to at the beginning of the meeting, staff is currently trying to balance all these different factors. Will the cobia show up earlier? Will they show up later? You know, is there some way to close off a little bit of time that wouldn't impact our anglers too much or our captains too much, but would provide us with some real conservation benefit? And it seems to make more sense to start at the bottom and see what is an appealing season for our stakeholders and then see how realistic that is, or at the very least just see what was projected to happen. Because while it's not guaranteed to get exactly it, obviously we know fewer amount of days closed will lead to higher harvest estimated, sort of like the trend versus absolute issue. We can figure out a trend, but we're not going to be able to really nail down an exact number. So with that being said, there are going to be ways to play around with it. We have fewer options than we've had in the past. Staff has been very concerned about raising the size limit too much higher. The reason being, there's our own age samples, so we send otoliths to Old Dominion University to measure the ages of fish. They feel that after all the samples that we've gotten from them, the 75th percentile of male cobia lies at 43 inches total length. So 75% of the cobia that were sampled were smaller than that size. So if you have a minimum size limit much higher than 40 inches, you're almost guaranteed to be harvesting female fish. And that's obviously not good for a spawning stock that the last assessment predicted to be declining. So that leaves us with a vessel limit and a season length. Obviously, our possession limit's already one fish. So we could go lower with the vessel limit. Obviously, that's not something that anyone would really want at this point. And as we learned last night, anglers aren't really interested in shortening the season either. But if we were to do something to try and be restrictive, it would probably fall under one of those two. So that's all I have. The staff recommendation, of course, is to have the commission approve staff advertising a public hearing for the March 2017 meeting to consider the adoption of management measures for the 2017 Virginia recreational cobia fishery. Thank you for listening. I'll take any questions we might have at this point.
Before we get into questions here, Chief, you got something to add to this?
Yes. So we're in a different situation this year than we were last year. Last year we faced a June 20th closure, and it was a pretty controversial situation all around, as you remember well, I'm sure. And I think the commission spent about 4.5 hours altogether. Federal waters are already closed. Of course, there are situations for our neighbors. I mean, as we go forward, Georgia and South Carolina don't have a fishery, essentially, so we think about that. This year, instead of it being free form, staff would like to go back to the way things used to be with our recreational fisheries. And the way that was, staff would like to have maybe 5 options that we develop and that we actually put in a public notice. The 6th option would be the commission always has the ability to modify, come up with something different, essentially, and that would be very important. What that will do, it will help the recreational community because, you know, last night there were some comments about sort of like a sneak attack on them, and, you know, they get something launched on, they don't have any idea of what's coming. This way, they'll know what's coming, and we plan to have an FMAC meeting on the 27th, the night before the commission meeting. We are wanting to have a quorum so that the commission can have advice from FMAC. They tried to do that a little bit last night, but it was jumbled at the end. And as Ryan said, you know, a lot of people like status quo, and then quite a few, I think, wanted the 4 fish, and there was no way to get even a semi-coherent, you know, type of concurrence last night. The other thing that staff wants to consider is that it's not new, but in 2013, the Mid-Atlantic Council went forward with a omnibus amendment for recreational fisheries. And that is what launched in this federal system that you see, and cobia is part of that too, these accountability measures, where if you reach certain situations, action has to happen. What we're operating on right now through the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council is that the head of NIMPS down there in the Southeast office is able to look at the information, and if he feels that the trends are that there would be an overage, he can close federal waters, and he did that. In 2013, on the way to getting this omnibus to GARFO, which is the northern part of National Marine Fisheries Service, I had asked that we put in a situation where when you look at accountability measures, you look at 3 years of not landings against an ACL or a quota and judge one against the other, you look at the standard deviation of the MRIP estimate, one standard deviation below. A standard deviation covers 68% around the mean, so essentially 34% below the mean. That was great for the Mid-Atlantic Council. GARFO rejected it. Now, in the ASMSC, which it does look like will be part of the ASMSC process by 2018, the technical group there for summer flounder and black sea bass, when they met together with council people as a monitoring committee, they were all about talking about the problems with this point estimate of MRIP. The point estimate is really just a mean. It's an average of all the observations. And they are developing information and protocols that can be used to say, we really shouldn't be held to this point estimate. We all know there's a wide variation. There's a lot of factors, especially when you talk about cobia, which may not be rare in Virginia to harvest, but to intercept, cobia is rare to intercept. So the plan is to look at the standard deviation, take the 2014, 15, and 16 data, and work the same type of approach that Ryan has worked before that he did last year, regardless of the fact that it didn't come up the way we thought it would come up. This is a typical outcome that we will face at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. We faced it with summer flounder for many years, where on paper you think you've got it. You think you will be able to take care of a reduction. When the answer comes back, it's never exactly that. No one can predict availability or effort that's going to happen. So we want to try that approach and have about five options. One will be status quo. One will be the commission's discretion as far as what they'd like to do. And the others will be variations of, most likely, we'll look at a four-fish limit so that everyone can see relative to these options, a four-fish limit means this kind of season. A three-fish limit means this kind of season. A two-fish limit means this season. A one-fish limit means that season. Well, I've just run out of my six options, so it may be a couple more. But I think that's the way to go forward, and we'd like to have your concurrence to advertise such an approach. And, I think it would be a benefit to your process that you have next month in your public hearing. And I think the recreational community would appreciate, they may not agree with what they see, but at least they'd appreciate knowing what's coming forward. Last night they were like, what's your recommendation? What's your recommendation? And staff was, well, we haven't gotten that far yet. And so that's what I wanted to add to Ryan's presentation, and I hope it'll be acceptable.
Thank you, Chief. I assume that we're going to have some discussion here.
I don't think we need to have a lot of discussion today. We're going to have a lot of discussion. Yeah. I do want to make a comment on this handout. There are materials here. There's a paragraph here, obviously a typo. Dr. Michelle Duvall, chair of SFAMC, pointed out the fact that we're talking about how the estimated catch went up in Virginia, and saying the estimate does reflect the measures Virginia took to cut its harvest, and it should be does not. She questioned MRIP. In fact, she was very critical of MRIP. This says she said it does. So there should be a negative in here. It says does. There's no not. Does not.
All right. Let the minutes reflect the change.
So anyway, so basically, the MRIP estimate was questioned by the chair of SAFMC.
What the chair said, if I may, because I was there,
and I was listening,
that she couldn't understand why Virginia's estimate was so high, because Virginia had a more conservative set of regulations than North Carolina. Yeah. But you heard from Ryan, there's a lot of things that can happen. The fish can move more quickly in one season. All sorts of things can happen.
Or MRIP could just suck.
Well,
okay. So that's it could just be wrong. We have these standards say MRIP's better than MRS because you have this better standards of where you're sampling and that kind of stuff. But the end number is just wrong. It doesn't do any better. You know, it's so we got to do better.
I would say wait 10 years and we'll all have an MRAP, seriously, because it's been changing all the time. They're still working on everything. This new approach to effort, which is going to get away from the telephone completely, all that information will be unveiled in 2018. That's going to send a shockwave through all our processes that we have, including stock assessments. So, you know, at some time we'll have an MRIT that we say, you know what, that's not too bad.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, cause everything we do can change you know, everything.
Right. Well, we heard that about MRFs and then the MRIP. And you know what? This data has been questioned and insufficient in the minds of a lot of our anglers now for 30-some years. I personally don't have a lot of hope that it suddenly becomes magically in the next 10 years pretty much accepted.
The other, just a comment, Ryan did a good job, and you have to, of summarizing last night's FinFish meeting. Basically, I can tell you that the anglers are going to want a 4-fish boat limit. That's what they're going to ask for. That's what the vast majority, want. They're going to want you to copy North Carolina, what North Carolina just did with their recreational regulations. That's what they're going to want. But the question is, who could live with status quo, keeping what we did last year? And they're going to be tickled to death if you do that, because they're scared to death you're going to cut them from last year. And so they're going to want, and they're going to yell at you, and they're going to want you to go to a 4-fish boat limit, and they're going to be relieved if you just stay what you did last year, and then they're going to yell bloody murder if you cut it any further. So that's kind of, yeah. So that those are the same people who want a 4-fish, but also the same people who raise their hands and they can live with the status quo. Yeah. You know, and that's going to be the general recreational.
So I am in the system that I know a lot of people who work on Emory. And so I don't say too much at all, because there's plenty of other people who say things, and that's fine. But there's probably no doubt that we could get a different estimate with the same information. I don't think anyone would doubt that. That's why I think it's a good idea that we set our sights a little bit lower, and we don't take on face value what happened in 2014, 15, and 16. We take a standard deviation below, go through these exercises, and provide the type of advice similar to what you, the commissioner, said quite a few times. And I think it'll be a better process.
And I agree with you. Okay. I agree with you. I have no problem with you coming up with different options. And in fact, that would be a good thing than us just trying to wing it like we had to do last year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You wung it good, though. You did a good wing.
But, thank you.
Yeah. So I would make a motion to approve.
Any comment from your wingman?
No, he was just flying from the cuff, and he came up with all this kind of stuff that kept a season, and it was very conservative, and he did good. And we had a very good season, but there's just no way that we can have 30-something fish sampled in 2015. It says we catch this much, we shorten the season by a month, we reduce the boat limit to 2, and then we all of a sudden we come back and sample 30-something fish and say, oh, you've caught 100,000 more pounds. It's just not in the realm of believability. The only way that could happen is if there were a gazillion million fish out there. And if there are that many fish out there, why are we even talking about this? So we need a new stock assessment. That's the other end of it.
I do want to add one thing, if I may, and that is
we're headed towards the ASMFC process.
Yep.
And our parent is going to be the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council with the backing of NOAA down in the southeast. When we get to that point, I think it's important, and I tried to do this last night, to say we're not going to be able to enjoy, at least initially, large, call it a quota, or ACLs. You know, that's what's going to be troublesome to a lot, is that pie that Ryan talked about isn't going to grow larger until they do a stock assessment that shows, okay, our ACLs were pretty conservative, the ACLs or the quota should be higher. So, I mean, that's... And then the flip side of that is once we're in the ASMSC process, it's summer flounder recreation all over again, mm-hmm. because we'll be playing this situation where we can forecast, just as Ryan explained to you, trying to forecast what's going to happen the next year. And it's really something else. And, you know, eventually, you know, you get so conservative that it impacts the fishery and the fishermen, because then you leave fish that really should go to the fishermen. I mean, that's what the fishery's all about. So thank you.
Mr. Zito.
Does this public hearing, is it also going to address accountability procedures?
No. That's only done through the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council. That's what's so unique here. We have the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council right now is the management authority. It will continue to be the management authority in terms of setting accountability and the quotas. I'll call it a quota for everyone's benefit. Whereas the ASMFC by 2018, the idea is that they will help the states in some way, either in a regional way or a state-specific way, however they do it, to have shares, allocations of the recreational quota.
What I was talking about, Dr. O'Neill had a recommendation, I guess, in one of your emails as to how to get the angler.
I was going to bring that up in the last one.
Oh, in the last one? Okay. All right. Withdrawn.
You okay?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. Basically, this is an odd year. We have a year where we are going to set our COVID regulations. SSAMC has already shut down the federal waters. We do not have ASMFC involvement yet, and we're in a situation where we pretty much, if any, does what it wants to do. Now, as a commission, we need to do it in a responsible manner, so we need to be responsible to fish. We need to be responsible to our anglers, but the whole world's going to change on us again in 2018, and so we have this year to kind of position ourselves and to set ourselves up for what's coming, and it's coming. But this year, we can, you know, we're in charge. For this fishery, this year, in state waters, we're in charge. We won't be 2018. We won't be in charge anymore. But this is 1 year. We're in charge.
Well, let's not make this a big last party.
No. I think we need to be responsible. But we have, you know, like Rob said, this is an unusual situation. It really is an unusual situation. And I think his approach to it is good. And reasonable. So I move to accept staff's recommendation, including Rob's direction.
So that's a request for a public hearing and a decision at the March meeting here, and staff will prepare the various options that we'll consider, knowing full well that we can freelance off that. It's a motion by Mr. Neal. Second by Mr. Erskine. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously.